Welcome back, Midday Show. Kyle always finds the right music here to set it up. Welcome back. We're live today in South Philly. Chickies and Pete's for Philly's opening day. Brought to you by Budweiser. Enjoy all the tourney action at Chickies and Pete's for great food and drink special. Come on down. There's already people here. I mean, this place just opened. People are here getting ready. The gates open, I believe, at 12:35 today. Ceremonies around 2:20. First pitch around 3:05 as the Phillies get set to take on the Braves and start what should be a tremendous season for the team. I think 95 wins is where they're going to be at. I believe they're capable of winning 100, and I believe this team's going to win the World Series. And, Hugh, if they do not, I think it's an issue because I've been thinking about this for a while, their window, Hugh, to do something here. You know, it started, let's say, 2 years ago. They crack into the playoffs. They make a magical run. They get to the World Series. They're up 2-1 on the Astros. Obviously, Houston comes back and wins that series. Nobody was angry. I mean, it was more like, wow, they gave us an incredible ride, and they finally learned how to win. And then we go to last year, and they get off to a weird start again. But then they do it again, right? They get hot again, and they get this close to the World Series, and they don't get there. And now we enter this season, and Hugh, I think it's interesting to think about how much longer this team has to get the job done. Because some teams' windows, like Baltimore came up earlier, right? They're all young. That team probably has like a 6-year window. They're going to be around a long time.
Yeah, they're young. They're young squad, young Thundercats.
Some teams have that, but I don't look at the Phillies that way. Their best players are in their 30s, right? You're talking about Bryce Harper, Trey Turner,
Kyle Schwarber, a little bit older, a little longer too.
Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola. So the way I look at it is this is more of a now or never kind of season than maybe they're willing to say or a lot of people want to believe. I think they have to win the World Series this year because I think there's a real chance in 2 or 3 years they're not as good. We saw what happened here in 2011. They were the best team in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
By 2012, they fell to 500. By 2013, 2014, they weren't good anymore. Like, sometimes teams get old fast. I think their window is not open for much longer. I have a very now or never feeling. Hugh, when you look at them, what do you think their window is?
I hear you with the now or never, but I think like 2 or 3 years in baseball, that's still like a high. You're still playing at a high clip. Because we're talking about JT Realmuto and him being 33 and the fact that he can play at a high level for 5 more years.
Well, he thinks he can.
Well, I mean, okay.
Yeah.
He thinks he can.
If we're being real, he's declined the last 2 years. I mean, most catchers like him fall off fast. Now, I hope he doesn't. And the way he talked to us last week, he seems to think he could figure this out. But if I had to bet, I wouldn't bet on him being great for 5 more years. I mean, that's just the reality of it.
Okay, decision. 3 or 4 more years. 3 or 4? 3. You looking at me like, okay, 2 years, Joe. I hear, but the point is this. I hear what you're saying. And you have a couple guys like you got Trey Turner that you spoke of and things like that. So it does kind of feel like that. I think it's more of a now or never scenario because of the way things have went for them the last couple of seasons. I think back to who was it when they talked about jumping into the pool if they wanted?
Garrett Stubbs.
When Garrett Stubbs said that, that to me was like the kiss of death in a sense. Because, you know, when you hear back when you revision this history, you hear the Arizona Diamondbacks, they talk about how that comment kind of lit a spark under them.
Well, it was kind of a slap in the face.
Yeah, it was. And then you hear Stubbs talk about how what he said was taken out of context. I say all that to say this, that now you learn from those little mistakes, those little idiosyncrasies that you had, and you just go out there and you try to change the narrative just a little bit. But to your point, yeah, it does feel like it's time. It's time to get over the hump. You've been in this position for the last couple of seasons. Now it's time to come bring it on home.
But it doesn't feel like you think the window's as small as I do. You think it could last a few more years.
A few more years. Yeah. I feel like it's different in a sense than football. Because for me, Joe, I could tell. Like as I got older, I knew that me playing at a high level was probably going to be a little bit tougher the older that I got. But it feels like in baseball that they're still somewhat in their sweet spot as far as their ability to get over the hump.
Yeah, I think this is a now or never kind of season for the Phillies. I look at their age. I look at on the horizon what's coming. Look, the Dodgers won't go anywhere. They'll just add more money. They'll add more players. So Ohtani will pitch again next year. Braves aren't going anywhere. And a team that we laugh at now, the Mets, they have an owner that's willing to spend like $400 million on a payroll. They'll probably come back up in the next couple of years and buy a bunch of really good players. So the Phillies have a very, very important opportunity right now to take advantage of this. Kyle, where do you come down on now or maybe never for this group? That's it. It's time, Kyle, now.
I feel like it's now or never, too. I'm looking at a lot of the ages of these players on the team. Seeing a lot of threes, not a lot of twos, and that three catches up on you quick,
Hugh. But you know them threes, right? When you hit them threes, you're right in your sweet spot. You're in your prime.
Threes, Hugh. Tell them the truth about threes, Hugh.
You know what I'm saying? No, I'm saying it's different in football, but in your threes, in baseball, you're in your prime.
I don't know about that. That catches up with you quick. And plus, here's the other thing: like, what does it do to their psyche if they get there or close to it 3 years in a row and don't break through? Like, you have that, they have that different intensity this year. What if they don't do it again? How can they get revved up again next year if it's now 3 years in a row, especially when this year it feels like they should do it?
You know what? If I'm not mistaken, I think it was like for Brian Snicker, I think it was in his third season, if I'm not mistaken.
Snicker. Somewhere around there when they won in 2021.
Because it was in the pandemic. It was in the pandemic, the shortened season. So, yeah, it feels like that's kind of the trend for baseball.
The Dodgers won in the pandemic. The Braves won the next year.
2021.
Okay,
yeah.
But it was in that, but it still was in that sweet spot.
The Braves and their ages were like those players.
They were fairly young. Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I feel like this team is still fairly young.
Really?
Go ahead and say it, Joe.
This isn't a relative thing.
Just say it, Joe. Say it.
You're older than most players. I mean, that's the reality of it.
Okay. This is true.
All right, let me throw this stat at you, then we'll go back to the phone lines. 215-592-9494. For last season, across all of baseball, Hugh, there were only 17 players, 32 or older, that played every day, that got enough at-bats to be everyday players. Just 17 in all of baseball. Net the 2025 Phillies, so next year, will have 5 players that age. So across all 30 teams last season, 17 players at that age played every day.
With age comes wisdom.
Yeah, with age comes decline. With age comes injury.
With age comes wisdom.
You wish. We all hope that. You could be wise, but if you can't move anymore.
That's the hill that I'm dying on.
I know.
Today.
I'm just saying the Phillies are at a spot where in a year – they're going to have 5 players, 32 or older, in their everyday lineup. That is very old. They'll be one of the older teams.
Did you
in baseball.
See what? How old is Bryce? 31, 32?
30. This is age 31 season.
Did you see how he played first base the first time ever last year?
Sure.
Did he look 31?
He didn't, but he's also got a back issue.
That was bad. But you got where I was coming
now,
from this.
Will one or two of these guys be really good through their 31, 32, 30? Yeah,
but not
five.
All of them. Yeah, you're right.
I think it's now or never kind of thing, and it's part of the reason why I believe they're going to push all in to do it this year. 215-592-9494. We'll throw that in. Now or never, your bold prediction and your gut feeling on the 2024 Phillies. Are we getting a parade down Broad Street? Let's get back to the phone lines here. Tim is in Mount Holly. What's up, Tim?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Tim, what are you feeling?
I'm feeling 96 wins this year, but I think the key to this season, or one of the keys, is keeping Bryce Harper on the field. And I think with his violent swing and his back problems and the last couple of seasons that he hasn't made complete seasons, I think we might have a problem. I think he has to change his swing from that violent 19-year-old swing. He's not 19 anymore. So I hope they win the World Series, but I'm not predicting they're winning the World Series.
So, Tim, the thought on Bryce is an interesting one because his swing is violent, and you're not wrong. I mean, for years now, he's had these back things pop up where his back is tight, he misses a day, or he comes out of a game. It's not been significant yet, but, yeah, I mean, I do have concern about it because Hugh, he got to the big leagues at 19. He's played a lot of games,
a lot of baseball.
He does have
a violent swing, but my question, it's kind of hard to change something that's made you as successful as you are, as it's made Bryce Harper, and that's such a part of his mystique, if you will. I don't think that he could do that. The one thing that you could probably do to help offset that back issue is a little bit is strengthening your core. A little bit more. I remember when I had my injury, the doctor saying that, you know, in order to help you not have these injuries anymore, you have to strengthen the muscles around it. So maybe he could do that. But as far as changing the way that he swings, I don't foresee him doing that. He's going to do that.
Yeah, Tim, it might be hard. I mean, maybe it'd be good for his body, but I think it might be challenging for him to do it.
Anytime you adjust or tweak a professional athlete's technique, you're playing with fire. But some of the best long ball hitters in my lifetime have always said they hit their longest balls and their best balls not with the hardest swing and not trying to pull the ball. It just was like a hot knife through butter. They didn't even feel it. So he would have to be on board with toning down his swing. I don't think they can force him to do that. And also, if you're going for it all in one season, it's not good feng shui to get rid of dollar hot dog night.
That I do not disagree, Tim. I wish it was here. I think it was a bad job. Yeah, it was bad.
And my suggestion would be to combine it with NBN. Bring back nickel beer night. Combine it with dollar hot dog night, and you can call it brawl and barf at the park night.
Yeah, you could call a lot of drunk people for a nickel beer.
That would be a fiasco.
Oh my goodness, Tim. I'm not going to complain.
Nickel beer night,
Tim. Good phone call. I mean, I'll be there if you give me a nickel beer night. I'll be there.
Speaking of beer, did you try the fruit punch beer yet?
I haven't. I'm going to have it today.
Yeah, me too. That's why I was asking.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be at the park having a Philly standard, and I'll have myself fruit. I'll have two.
Okay. Yeah, beer. I was just checking because I wanted to see.
Well, I had it when I went to Yards about a month ago. I tried the fruit punch, and the lime and the orange.
Because a lot of my friends were asking me about the fruit punch. I haven't tried it yet, so I was kind of trying to get a critique.
Well, if you like fruit punch and you like beer, you're gonna like it.
Those two things to me don't sound that great together, but I can't wait to see what they taste
good.
Like.
I mean, sometimes that happens. I mean, we tried to go over this the other day. Sometimes combinations, you don't expect.
Like pork chops and applesauce.
Again, that's a very standard combination.
That is not a great combination.
No, it's a, it is.
You have no idea what's a good combination. I'm just going to put that out there right now.
Are you kidding me?
I am dead serious.
With so much bass and violence in your voice,
well,
Kyle,
he's
seriously?
Right, cause when you
it's because I'm all the way back here.
Well, that's true. You're miles away from us. All right, we've been asking for some bold predictions here today. How about this one? Mark DeRosa, MLB Network, a bold prediction on Zach Wheeler, not just a Cy Young Award. He's got Zach Wheeler winning the National League Most Valuable Player.
Ooh, you hit 40, and I know Spencer Strider's probably the play, but I'm going to go Zach Wheeler. He just signed an extension. He knows he's basically going to end his career in Philly. Upshoot heater with JT behind the dish. I think he has a big year start
Zach
to finish
Wheeler. Okay.
On him.
I like that because, listen, I go back to when I hear stuff about Zach Wheeler being this, that, or the third. Joe, when he talked about his splitter, whew, like his face lit up. Like he was like it almost made me feel good because he knows that like let's be honest, I'm not a baseball guy. But when I asked him about it, he lit up like, oh, like he was excited when I asked him about that pitch.
What I found interesting about it is and we talked to him a little bit down there, but just seeing him in press conferences or media stuff since he got to Philadelphia, he's kind of mild-mannered. Zach's not a guy that shows much emotion.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he'll answer the questions. He's nice. He's cordial.
Yeah.
But I don't not many moments I've seen him excited to talk. Like, he's more just reserved.
Yeah.
But he smiled when you asked about the splitter. He thinks he's got something
yes,
here.
Yes, he does. It's like I said, he feels like he has something that when he pulls it out, that it's going to blow people's minds with that. And that's what excites. I got excited because he was excited about it.
Well, the crazy part is he doesn't need anything to dominate. He's already really good.
No, and he was in the way when he talked about how I've been working on it for a while. I just got comfortable with it now. Like now I'm rolling it out. So I just can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see people when they try to hit it, how frustrated they're going to be. I mean, I'm excited for what potentially his season is going to be. And he's opening day pitcher. I'm excited to see what he's going to do.
His
there.
First one, by the way, for a pitcher as good as Zach Wheeler, his first opening day start, he was with the Mets. They had a lot of great pitchers like, Jacob DeGrom. He was hurt all the time. And then here, it's always been Nola. But Nola, passed on the baton. Wheeler today, opening day. Let's go to Kevin and Glenmore. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, listen, I just want to I'm from Glenmore, outside of Philly. I've lived in several states, many states, and a couple countries through, service to this country, and I've never seen a sports base that is this dedicated and that has this sense of community. I tune into this show every morning, and I feel a sense of community, and I think the Phillies are going to win 100 games and the World Series, and they're also going to win World War III and II.
Everything.
Yes, everything. And they defeated Napoleon.
And a parade down Broad Street. What kind of – we getting all the parades? We getting the parade for World War III and the World Series?
We're
everything.
All of them. And I love the energy that the fans have calling in because you know, it's awesome. And it is something I haven't seen. I've lived in Dallas, lived in California, Hawaii, Rhode Island, Germany, Iraq, all these countries. None of these places except Manchester United. They have a fan base that I don't think we can really compete with. But anyway, thank you for listening.
Goodbye. Yeah, well, Kevin, man, we appreciate the phone call. And I mean, Kevin, I agree with you. I mean, I think that's something unique here about WIP, about Philadelphia, about the community we have. And especially, look, there's two times it stands out to me, Hugh, what we have here. One is when things are bad because everyone is yelling together, like when the Eagles fell apart. And then one is when we're excited, like a day like today or the postseason for, let's say, the Phillies last couple of years or the postseason for the Eagles 2 years ago. You feel it. Like everyone is like just totally revved up.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Either you're a hater or a homer. It's no in between here. Either we're being homers or we're the biggest homer city. We're the biggest hater city, but the bottom line is, it's accountability, and being accountable for your teams that you love. We're 4-for-4.
And the thing, I mean, the Phillies have really latched on to the community with the fans. I think more than any team the last couple of years. I mean the individuals, right? Like the Eagles are the Eagles, right? That's this city is heartbeat is the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
But Hugh, the way the players, this current Phillies group connects with the fans, I haven't seen anything like that around here in a long time. There's something unique, and it's mostly led by Harper, right? Harper has done this, he's made a conscious effort from the moment he arrived to, I'm going to connect with this fan base, and it has.
I mean, he's a fashionista too, man. Did you see the jacket?
I did, of course I saw the jacket.
That's
he's
a pretty cool jacket, and so it begins. And you know what the great part about this is? Every day, before the game, we're gonna be on. It's almost like New York Fashion Week or something like that. Like he's like, remember when Kanye West? Everybody used to want to see what Kanye would have on or what he was wearing or whatever.
We call it Delco Fashion Week.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna call it.
I guess.
I mean, I'm okay with
sure.
that. Are we gonna coin that phrase, Kyle? Is that okay? Being that you're from Delco.
What is it again?
Delco Fashion Week.
Delco Fashion Week.
Well, it's because you know well, then, Bryce yeah, coming with his gear.
Delco and fashion, you don't really hear those two in the same sentence together unless you're saying like Delco has no sense of fashion whatsoever.
So you're speaking of like yourself and Jack and people who come from Delco.
the Rob Ellis's of the world.
Yeah.
Like we're not very fashionable people.
Rob Ellis used to be fashionable.
Also, Jack's a fake Delco guy. He's not a real Delco.
He started doing radio.
Oh, you lose your fashion when
Well, you know,
radio?
When you do radio, don't too many
you don't
people
need
get
to
see you. You know, I wear pajamas every day, except for the day.
You have a maroon sweatsuit.
Well, I had, because I had to come outside today. I had to actually be around.
You went with the maroon sweatsuit today, you?
Yes.
That's good, man. That's growth.
I mean, but it's Philly colors.
I'm glad you didn't go olive green. Yeah, I'm saying that's a good thing. Yeah.
You know what? I told you about the olive green one, man. I can't because it's like with the olive green one, I got to, you know, you can't, you know, be showing too much. With the olive green.
Yeah, huh? I think the maroon one was the better choice today.
Yeah, olive green one, like the pants, they fit different, and I don't, you know. I mean,
how about that D, baby?
You know what I'm talking about?
I don't want to know. How's that sound? All right, 215-592-9494. Mike in Brewery Town. What's up, Mike?
Yo, happy opening day, guys. How are you?
What's
going on?
What's up, buddy?
What's up? So I got 3 points if you let me. So one, I want to go into what you guys were mentioning about this being a now or never team. I disagree with you on that. I think we got 2 or 3 years with this team that's going to be a playoff caliber team, and that's excluding what we can do, trade for, bring in after the 3 years is up. So as far as being like, if we don't win it this year, we're done, no, I disagree. I think we got a solid team. I think we're starting off, again, maybe not as young, but we got some talent for some years.
Well, so before you go on, here's what I'll say. I don't think it's going to be as precipitous of a fall as it was, let's say, 2011 to 12, 13. I don't think they're going to be a 75-win team 2 years from now. I just think we're at a sweet spot right now. We got the young guys who are ready to really take off, and the other guys that are in their 30s, they're still really good. I wonder 2 years from now how good JT is, right? How good Wheeler still is 2-3 years from now. Same thing with Nola. They'll still be pretty good. I just wonder some of them are going to decline as the next couple of years happen.
Right. Now, I see your point on that. The next point, Rojas. I am stoked to see what this kid can do this year. I've been hearing a lot of, you know, like bring him down to develop behind the bat. What that guy can do in the field almost makes up for his lack of batting. And if
he does, that's why he's here.
Right? And because he's so good out there. Wouldn't you rather him develop in the majors than, and you know, rob Peter to pay Paul to put somebody worse or better at bat and worse in the field? No, I'd rather see this man get better in the majors, do major things in the field, and help us win on defense. And then my last point, and then I'll let you guys go. So I heard this yesterday, and I wasn't going to get a chance to get on, but I heard a couple talks of if we don't make it to the World Series this year, the Topper's job's on the line. I completely disagree with that. First off, I think Topper's the guy. I think he's a baseball guy. He's not just some knucklehead manager. He knows baseball. He's not out there to be friends with the players. Yes, he made some mistakes. He will continue to make mistakes, just like other managers. Get out of here with that. Charlie Manuel had one World Series with us. Give him a chance. He's our guy. Don't put that talk on the head. Thanks,
Mike,
guys.
Man, we appreciate it. Yes, look, I think Topper's a good manager. Now, did he do some things last October I didn't agree with, Hugh? Yeah. I
mean, they did a few things people didn't agree with.
Yeah, I mean, the leaving Kimbrel in Arizona, or going back to Kimbrel in Game 4 in Arizona, was a disaster, and I thought he needed to move Bohm out of that spot in the cleanup spot in the postseason. He stuck with it. He stuck with Rojas. I don't think he's on the hot seat or anything like that, but when you have a World Series expectations in baseball, yeah, the manager is part of that in October. So
yeah.
I think he'll be here next year, but I also realize the Phillies have to do everything they can to win the World Series. But I would imagine Topper's the manager.
I tell you what,
and
I know what he's talking about because I heard Ike and Jack talking about that yesterday. It's one of those situations where if this team regresses, if they don't make it to the playoffs,
well, that's different.
That's a conversation.
Sure, of course it is.
That's a conversation because there are high expectations with this baseball team, and so if you go in it and you fall short of the expectations, then that's a conversation that has to be had about the manager.
Yeah, I think that's part of – I mean, any sport. I mean, if the Dodgers underachieve, Dave Roberts could be out, and he's won a World Series, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is the way it works when you have that high expectations. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. We're live today for Chickies at Pete's at South Philly for Philly's opening day, brought to you, of course, by Budweiser. Enjoy all the tourney action, more Sweet 16 tonight at Chickies at Pete's with great – food and drink specials. All right, lot to do in the next segment. We'll hit your phone calls here. Is this now or never? We'll get Larry Anderson's Phillies prediction, an optimistic one, but one with concern packed in. Discuss that. Over-unders for the team. Kyle will throw some at us, and we'll get you revved up with a Joe Conklin special. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show, live at Chickies for opening day. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Say goodbye to Busted Brackets because FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, let's bet on every game of the tourney. Whether you're betting on a big upset or one seed, it's time to go dancing on America's number one sportsbook. I really like the FanDuel app. Right now, new customers get $200 of bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. I'll take Tennessee tonight over Creighton. That's $200 to use on point spreads, money lines. You can even pick who's going to win it all. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO and bet on college hoops until they cut down the nets. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back. Midday Show live from Chickies at Pete's, South Philadelphia. Hugh Douglas, Joe Zilla. We're here, of course, for Phillies opening day, brought to you by Budweiser. Nothing goes better with Phillies baseball than crab fries and an ice-cold Budweiser. This place is starting to fill up. Phillies Braves this afternoon at 3 o'clock. So Scott Francis is going to join us about an hour from now, 1 o'clock. We're going to have an hour-long crossover with Jack and Ike as we get set for the game. We'll do a little leading off with those guys at 2 o'clock. This, maybe it's just me. This has a bigger day feel than just open day. I love that it's the Braves. It's like we're not easing into this thing.
That's
we're
what
going,
it is.
We're diving head first.
No, that's exactly why it has a bigger feel, because it's the Braves. And the fact that they were crying about some things that did not go their way, the intangibles, if you will. The fact that they had the five-day layoff, and now, you know, it did work in their favor. So now you have this opening day, and this is probably – listen, baseball's a long-ass season. But a lot of people feel like this is like – for the championship, this is the matchup.
Well, you know what's going to happen on Monday. We're going to react to this weekend series.
Overreact. It's going to be super overreactive.
I can't wait to overreact on Monday. I mean, if the Phillies sweep the Braves, I'm burying the Braves on Monday. Dead and done. And obviously, if it's a tough weekend, you know, it'll bother us because we want the Phillies to get off to a good start. 215-592-9494. Back to the lines in a second here. Let's hear from Larry Anderson and his take on the Phillies and the beginning of this season and really kind of the whole big picture of this thing.
I really believe that this team can win the division and go all the way to finish it off. Obviously, I think the big thing, when you talk about what's one of the down things for this club, I don't see a ton of depth. There's some, but not a lot. And I think, you know, injury or two to key players could be the downfall. But I think staying healthy, if they do that, I think they got a chance to win a division. It's not going to be easy, but I think they can, and I think they can go all the way. I really do.
So I agree with Larry on a lot of that. So we had a caller yesterday that brought up a very similar point to Larry, right, about their depth and about if they have injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I would say to that. It depends on where the injuries are. Look, this team made the playoffs 2 years ago with Bryce Harper missing months of the season with an injury. Last year, he missed an entire month. I can make a case that Trey Turner missed 3-4 months last year. He was like a ghost of the player he's supposed to be.
Yeah, he wasn't out there.
So I think they have enough offensive depth to you. Like, I don't want anyone to get hurt, but if Trey missed a month or Bryce missed a month or Schwarber, I think they have enough up and down the lineup. They'll score enough. They'll be okay. Where they cannot have injuries,
pitching.
Wheeler and Nola. Like, those are the guys, they got to be healthy.
Yeah, man, because, you know, we're sitting here talking about 4 and 5 starters, like fourth and fifth starter,
right.
What that's going to look like. To have one of those guys that to get injured early in the season, it would probably be tough for us. I mean, I still think that everything is in front of you as far as making it to the playoffs and everything. But to have one of those guys, if they got hurt early, yeah, it would be a whole problem for us.
Now, the good thing is, and of course, I mean, none of this is foolproof. Aaron Nola has been one of the most durable pitchers I've ever seen. I mean, the guy just doesn't miss starts. Now, Wheeler in his career has had a lot of injuries, but not with the Phillies. I mean, it's like he turned that corner, and he's been really durable as a Phillies starter. So, I mean, I feel good about it. Not many starters in baseball can pitch as much as those two, but they seem to have found something. I don't know if it's their routine or their bodies just respond, but they're pretty durable, those guys.
Yeah, and you know what? That's with anybody. Anybody that has aspirations that the Phillies have to make it to the World Series, one of the things that you cannot afford to have on any team, especially when you're lacking depth, is injuries. But to your point, the fact that we had power outages all last season and then Bryce Harper was coming off an injury and everything, I don't foresee that being a big issue for us. I really don't. I think that, you know, going through spring training and not having a whole bunch of major injuries, that kind of helped out a little bit. So, yeah, going into the season healthy, it helps.
Yeah, I think their depth on offense is extreme. I mean, they have a guy like Brandon Marsh hits eighth. I mean, you look at other lineups in baseball, you throw Marsh in there, I think he hits way higher in most lineups in baseball. He's a good player, and he hits eighth in this order. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go back to the phones here. Gut feeling, does this team win the World Series? We have a parade in November, and, of course, is it now or never? Rabbi Saul in the Northeast. What's up, Rabbi Saul?
Rabbi.
You're a minivan driver?
That's right. I got my minivan with me today. I drove it down here.
I have a minivan, too. I just deliver food with it.
What do you got? I got a Honda Odyssey. What do you drive, Rabbi Saul?
I drive around delivering food to people.
All right.
Anyway, let's get to the point of why I called.
What do you got?
I called about Messenger. I understand, but you got to be careful. If one of the starters goes down, we're in big trouble. And Messenger would be such an insurance policy, and he could fit into right there into the third or fourth slot for sure. And you can't have too much when it comes to pitching. You can't have too much because pitchers go down during the year.
They do. And did you mean Montgomery, Jordan Montgomery?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, he got signed. The Diamondbacks picked him up about 3 days ago.
Oh, I didn't
know
that. I apologize.
Yeah, it's over. No, it's okay.
I didn't hear that.
Well, it kind of slipped through the cracks for a lot of people. Yeah, the Diamondbacks got him. One-year deal, Rabbi Saul. 1 year, $25 million. He went to the Diamondbacks. I know. I wanted him, too.
Look, what can I say? I've been preaching it for many weeks on your show.
I wish they had listened. Rabbi Saul, man, we appreciate it. You enjoy opening day. I thought they should have signed Montgomery to Hugh, especially when the price, I mean, at one point.
It seemed like it was doable. But they, yeah. but what I was hearing, Joe, they didn't want to go over the luxury tax.
Well, okay. So here's my take on that.
What's the take?
My take is, okay, that's fine. It's March, and they don't want to go to that third level of the tax. Because every time you go up in the tax, it's more money you get taxed. I get it. Okay. And they also would lose a draft pick and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when we get to July, if this team is where we think they are or they're close to where we think they are, I don't want to hear anything about the luxury tax. I mean, they're all in anyway. Like that to me doesn't make sense to spend this much money on a team and then right at the last minute say, now we're going to stop spending.
Or maybe it's one of those young guys, like maybe a Mick Abel or somebody that's going to potentially, you know, get an opportunity later on in the season.
Maybe, but if you're trying to win a World Series, I'm not putting Mick Abel on the mound in October. I mean, the guy's never pitched in the big leagues.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I mean, Kyle, I don't want to hear luxury tax stuff when we get to July. I mean, like if the Phillies need a starting pitcher or they need a whatever they need, a reliever or another bat, I better not hear luxury tax. This team's all in anyway.
Yeah, and I don't want to – like John Middleton, Mr. Stupid Money, allow me to recycle a phrase here. It's now or never. If you're not going to spend the money now, I don't know when they're going to do it. So yeah. It's time to go all in on this team. Get that bleeping trophy back, John.
And when I was talking about Mick Abel, I wasn't talking about during the playoff run. I was talking about if you needed him during the course
yeah.
of the season.
Well, and I think yeah, we'll yeah. see him during the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we get to July, they're going to need something, right? Every team does. I mean, whatever it is. I mean, someone's going to get hurt.
Why they keep the powder dry.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. So, but that powder could have been used on Montgomery. I mean, they chose not to. Now, there's also a chance they don't think he's that good. I mean, it's kind of crazy. At one point, there was rumors he wanted $125 million, $150 million. He got 1 year, $25 million.
It was him and who else got a deal that he was – it was nowhere close to what
Snell,
he was asked
Blake
for. Yeah, yeah, it was he didn't get what he was asked for. It was just a weird year for pitching or pitchers.
It was. I mean, some teams just, they said no. I mean, they didn't want to do it. Let's go to Steve in Bridgeton. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. What's up? So excited today.
Oh, it's a great day.
I can hear it in your voice.
What are you feeling,
yeah,
Steve?
Yeah, man. I got three things. Joe, I know you're talking about Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think he was worth that money. I wanted him, but then to see what he got, I didn't think he was worth it. But
So you didn't even think the 1 year he was worth. You don't like him very much.
He's okay.
Okay.
I'd rather have Nola instead of him. But
well, I agree right, with yeah. you on that, Steve.
There's one pitcher out there still. Everybody, some people bring him up. I think you guys know where I'm going.
Trevor Bauer.
Bauer. Yeah. He's throwing 96 to 99, and he said he was willing to play for league minimum. I know it's the outside stuff that's bothering everybody, but he's still throwing gas.
Yeah, nobody wants that heat, man.
Yeah, Steve, I mean, the only thing I can think of is that it's one of two things. One, that there's more to the story than we know, that maybe there's still some stuff that's unresolved that teams don't want.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I remember when he was in the league. He
was different.
Yeah, he got on people's nerves.
Different.
So you combine those two things. But, Steve, as a pitcher, like if you just told me he's available and you tell me about his career, I'd be like, for the league minimum, obviously, the whole thing's kind of bizarre. It is.
Yeah. All right. My points for this year. All right. Braves and Dodgers, I'm not worried about them because come playoffs, they're deer in headlights.
They have been the last few years. I mean, they've
totally choked. One, yeah. Braves, okay, yeah, they're great and all, but I don't think they have that leadership guy in the clubhouse anymore after Freeman left. Acuna is a diva, and he's all about himself. And Snicker cries like a baby. And for Dave Robertson, the Dodgers, yeah, they buy. But guess what? He makes one moment in the playoffs, and he loses it. Now, for us, I think it's going to be closer than it was the last 2 years. I think we win about 95, 96 games. We win the second seed. But we don't play the Dodgers or the Braves in the playoffs because I think they got knocked out early. And for the World Series, I got us in Baltimore.
Steve, that'd be an awesome World Series. The crazy part, and Steve, man, we appreciate the phone call. WIP would go to every game. Like, this city would partially be down there in Baltimore. I mean, and both fan base, right? You just travel back and forth. That'd be an awesome World
Series.
That's
on the not the turnpike, but just down the highway.
Down 95.
Yeah, down the highway. Yeah, that would be a bad
ride.
One. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I mean, if that's the most fun potential World Series, Phillies and the Baltimoreos. All right, so he said something there about the Braves and the Dodgers. Yeah, they struggled a lot in the postseason the last couple of years. I mean, the Dodgers have just puttered out, and I think the Phillies are in the Braves' heads.
That's what it feels like, especially when you're complaining about, you know, the wives and significant others in you know, sitting in the family section getting ridiculed or whatnot. I mean, like even say as an Eagles fan, if I go somewhere else and I bring my family with me, in order, like, I'm still being a fan, but in order to cut down on some of that, probably some rowdiness, I probably won't wear my colors. You know what I mean? Just because you don't want any of that. So I mean, just do the same thing.
Or if you're gonna wear your colors, just
be quiet.
Yeah. Well, or just don't cry when you get yelled at and heckled. Like, this is not that complicated. Obviously, the Braves are worrying about too many things. All right, Kyle, how about we do some over unders here?
Do some over unders, fellas?
Yeah, throw some over under as for the Phillies 2024
All right.
season.
I'll give you five player over unders, and then I'll finish up with sort of a big picture Phillies team.
Okay.
Over under. I'll start you off with Mr. Bryce Harper. And the amount of home runs that he's going to hit this season. Hughes going over. You don't even know what the number is yet. It's 30 and a half home runs for Bryce.
Over.
Over. I mean, the only thing that's going to stop this is injury, right? I mean, I feel like when he's on the field as a Philly, he hits like on a pace of more than 30 home runs per season. He's just missed time. Over.
Yeah, I'll go over too, just because I'm not going to, you know, put out into the universe that Bryce Harper's going to get injured. So we'll go 3 for 3 overs there. Let's do more home runs. How about our guy, Kyle Schwarber, is over-under for home runs. Set at 39 and a half, guys. What do you think?
Over.
This is a lock, guys.
Because he's hit like, 83
He's hit 46 and 47, I believe, is 2 years, regular season.
Yeah, not including postseason.
Yeah, we're getting, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking 50 this year. Yeah, over 39 and a half. I'm in.
I'll go 50 on the nose for Kyle Schwarber. How about that?
I like it.
Over. All right, so we're all over there. Let's go with the top two starters. Zach Wheeler, strikeouts this year are set at 187 and a half.
Over.
Over. I mean, with him, it's innings, right? If he gets to 190 innings, he's going to have, you know, probably close to 190, 200 strikouts. That's an over, too.
Yeah, I agree. This one I'm going to put out there that I think is the biggest lock of all of these, and I don't know how this number is so low. But Nola strikeouts at 190.5, this guy goes out there and pitches every fifth day. Do you see any reason that goes under?
Maybe. I've got one for you. I think there's maybe more of a chance than under, because if you look at his strikeout rate has fallen the last few years. It's like he still strikes out a good number of batters, but I feel like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, it was like 12 guys per nine. Then it moved to 11, then 10. Now I feel like last year was like one strikeout per inning, which is a good number, Kyle. You're right. If he gets to 200 innings, that should equal about 200 strikeouts, but his strikeout rate has dropped the last year. So I would not bet this, and if I bet it, I'd bet the under.
I think you're crazy. Let's see, 2018, 224 strikeouts. The next year, 229, and then the pandemic season, he had 96. We don't count that.
Right.
223 the year after, 235, and then, you know, 202, like you said. But he had a down year last year. I don't think he's a declining player. This dude's a horse. He's going to throw at least 200 again this year.
If he gets to 200, you probably win the bet. But if he misses one or two starts for something, I mean, if it's a minor thing, I think you're dancing with the tough one.
Who do you think is the least likely player on this Phillies team to miss any time?
Well, it's Nola.
It's Nola, yeah. So.
Yeah, but I still bet the under. I wouldn't bet the over-under.
How dare you, Joe?
I take every over on these?
No, okay. You don't. But, I mean, that was the one that I felt like was the biggest lock of them all. I guess you disagree. That's okay. Hugh, you're going over on the Nola case?
Yeah, I think I will.
All right, here's one I think you might go under on, Joe. How about Trey Turner's stolen bases? They're 28 and a half. This one I can actually see reasoning for why it might be under.
What do you got, Hugh? Over under 28 and a half steals from Trey.
No, you know what? I feel like he's comfortable. Now, I'm going to go. See, I was trying to figure out how many more we got of these, Kyle, before I answer this question.
There's one more after this.
Okay, because I didn't want to be a homer and go over on all of them, so I'm going to pick under on the next one in regards to what it is. But anyway.
One home run for someone.
No.
I'm going under.
No. But I feel like he's comfortable now, and I feel like he's going to go over there. I think he's going to be somewhere in the 30-40 range. I really do.
I'm going to go under for this reason. He's not running as much over the last couple years. Like, he's still an amazing base stealer.
He's still fast. He's so fast, though, man.
I mean, literally last year he was 30 for 30, but he only attempted 30. And if you go look at the last few years, I think it was like his attempts were 55, 60, then it dropped to like upper 40s, then it dropped to the 30s. Last year, Kyle, he only ran 30 times, and it's not because he's not fast enough. I don't think his speed has declined at all. I wonder if he doesn't want to get hurt on the bases, and he's kind of, you know, protecting himself a little bit. I'd go under because I think he's got to run 35 times to guarantee you 30.
Yeah, this is where I'm more aligned with you, because I didn't really see the same trend with Nola strikeouts that you did. This one is an obvious trend of Trey Turner and stolen base. They're going down year by year, so that's one that I'd probably look at and go under. So,
okay, well, I guess I am being different, dude. I'm going over. So I stick with the over.
Damn it, Hugh. All right. Philly's win total for the season. I think I know where we're all going on this one. Set at 89.5.
Oh. Yeah, I'm glad I did it. It worked out the way it did.
Yeah, otherwise you'd have to go under. Yeah, you said it.
It worked out the way it's supposed to.
This is an over. As we discussed yesterday, I think it's a little bit of a big picture overreaction to the last 2 years and not the context of what went wrong in the beginning of the last two seasons.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going over too. I mean, I got 100 wins, so they're gonna clear this pretty good. So those are your over-unders.
All right, 5 over-unders for the 2024 Phillies. Let's go to Tim in Philadelphia. What's up, Tim?
Hey, what's up, Rock?
Tim, what are you feeling, buddy?
How are we doing?
Good. What are you thinking on the Phillies? You ready for a little parade here?
Yeah, I'm definitely ready for a parade.
You got a bold prediction? Tim, give us a bold prediction.
You want a bold prediction?
Yes, a bold one, Tim.
Someone, a rotator cuff's going to go today on the mound.
This is a joke, quite frankly.
Seriously?
What is wrong with him?
That's what we're doing on opening day.
Everybody's got these pine, you know, nobody's being real. Everyone's got good, you know, so many home runs, so many wins. I think someone's going to tear a rotator cuff. I didn't say who.
Dude, what?
Hope springs eternal today.
So Tim's bold prediction is an injury today.
Tim woke up this morning and peed in somebody's Cheerios and just went right back to sleep.
Well, you know what? Shut up.
Put some hot sauce on that burrito. I like that.
Tim, man, I hope you're wrong. How about that? Tim, man, we appreciate the phone call.
Tim, that was a brutal phone call.
Was that a drop of me saying shut up?
Yeah, it was. I got that earlier.
You know what? Shut up.
I mean, I don't even know how to respond to that. I mean, it's opening day. We're supposed to be optimistic, but you come in and say, oh, somebody's going to blow a rotator cuff.
Yeah, that was not what he said on the phone, so I'm very disappointed in Tim.
Listen, not everyone has to feel like the Phillies are going to win the World Series. It's okay if you don't feel that way. I mean, let's be real. They didn't do much this offseason. Their win total's 89.5. They have, what, the 7th or 8th best odds
to win
the World Series?
Yeah, but rotator cuff, though, good.
No, I know. If you don't think they're going to win the World Series, we're not going to bite your head
rotator
off.
Rotator cuff, though. No, we're going to bite your head off a rotator cuff, though.
Well,
we'll bite it off.
It's a weird, bold prediction.
That is one of the weirdest things ever. It's like a satellite's going to fall in the middle of the stadium, like something crazy like that.
Yeah, so also it's why would anyone want that to happen? I don't even want it to happen to the Braves guys. I mean, I don't want Spencer Strider to get hurt.
But then he said he tried to clean up. I didn't say who.
Well, because then just say a Brave if you think it's a Brave.
That's not that.
That's a weird prediction.
That's weird.
How about we pivot here a little bit and go to something we'll all be excited for. How about Joe Conklin on the Phillies as we get ready for open day? Here's the latest from Conklin.
Guess who's leading off today? The Phillies are back and they're ready to play. Unfinished business, I heard them say. And if Schwarber wants to lead off, you better let him. This year we're going to get a quick start. Swinging strikes, playing real smart. Harper leading the team with his heart. Let's see those big bats go crazy. The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
Shore bomb, baby. Let's get one.
Woo! I said the boys are back in town. The boys are back in town. Our starting pitching looks real sound. Can't wait to see us take Atlanta down. Gonna win that division crown. Watch the whole town go crazy. Dombrowski says let's run it back. World Series of boss, I ain't talking smack. Middleton wants his bleeping trophy back. We're fulfilling expectations. The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
Go Phils! Atlanta's going down!
I said the boys are back in town. The boys are back in town. Going to the bank, hey what a thrill. Burn Alley gonna get my fill. Making noise, cheering on the fighting Phils. Hearing all those fans go crazy. The Phils are back in town. The Phils are back in town.
Wheeler on the hill, go Phils.
I said the Phils are back in town. The Phils are back in town.
The bank will be rocking.
The Phils are back in town. The Phils are back in town. The Phils are back in town.
the great Joe Conklin, joeconklin.com. The Phils are back in town here. We're ready.
I'm excited.
3 hours.
I was just sitting here thinking like, dang, as much as I don't like Joe Conklin, he is very talented.
He's very good at what he does.
Yeah, he is.
But
I don't like Joe. No, I love Joe, man.
I love you say that every time we play a Conklin.
Yeah, no.
Joe's like, great at what he does.
He is. He ain't funny either. He ain't funny. But he is talented, though.
He's very talented.
But you ain't. He ain't funny.
He thinks he is, though. That's
no, he does. Yeah. He definitely thinks he is. Shout out to Joe Conklin, man. That was good. Good job.
All right.
We
got a lot to get to here. Scott Francis going to join us coming up at 12:30. We're live today. Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia for Phillies opening day. Brought to you by Budweiser. Nothing goes better with Phillies baseball. The crab fries and ice cold Budweiser. We'll get back to your phone calls coming to the other side. Bold prediction for the season. Gut feeling. Does this thing end with a parade down Broad Street? I believe it does. I even gave you the date. November 6th, you thought that might be Halloween. And we got to go through that
We ain't got to talk about that no more.
You said it. I mean, you said, isn't that Halloween? No, it's not. It's Wednesday, November 6th. That's the date of the parade. Gut feeling on the Phillies here. 215-592-9494. And I'm curious if people do believe this is a now or never team. I do. I look at their ages, and a lot of guys that are in that 31, 32, it's now or never. This is the year to get it done before they all age at the same time. All right, we'll come back. Your phone calls plus. We'll get to the Braves stuff. That's the opponent today. Let's wrap up the Braves conversation. Strider on the mound. We know he doesn't like crowds. The Braves, their whiny manager. We're getting hyped next. 215-592-9494 on Sports Radio 94 WIP.